Okay, good morning. I was asked to do a presentation on the trends in mean weight and length of groundfish stocks, some of the groundfish stocks. At the last groundfish assessment meeting last August 2005, when we were reviewing all the assessments, it was noted that in quite a few of the species, it looked like the mean length was declining in the commercial mean weights and lengths, or mostly in the mean weights. So the GARM formed a working group, the maturity and weight working group, to work up all the time series for the groundfish and try to see if we can find some and do some statistical analyses to see if we can see some relationships that might be causing any decline in the weight and length of the stocks. So when you look at growth, there's several mechanisms that can affect growth, and I'm listing about five of them here. The first one is maternal and paternal effects. The one that people might be more familiar with is the maternal effect of fecundity, where the length of a female is related, or the fecundity of a female is related to the length. The larger the female, the more eggs she can spawn. Where that's not directly related to growth, but another factor that would be is the size of the egg that the female releases. Studies have shown that as the age of the female increases, the size of the egg she releases increases. So a larger egg has an advantage in the environment. It's a larger larvae, and therefore it can feed and grow faster than its smaller eggs, smaller larvae. It can get out of the predation window quicker. Maternal effects aren't studied or haven't been studied as much, but one study that I saw that I thought was rather interesting was that they have shown that the sperm motility of the sire is influences the jaw size of the larvae. So the larvae then is again and can capture larger prey, grow faster, and this may propagate into its juvenile and adult growth. Stock density or density dependence is a common mechanism that affects growth. If you have a lot of fish, there's going to be competition for space and food, which will affect how quickly the fish can grow. Environment here, I'm just speaking about temperature mostly. Most studies have shown that quite a few fish that, you know, the warm waters will grow more quickly than cool waters. And fish can't get out of the environment that's not conducive to growth, and that's going to affect the rate at which they grow. Food habits, again, that's related with environment, whether or not the prey that the fish prefers is in its habitat, or if the prey is affected by temperature, it may or may not overlap with the distribution at the right times with the fish, and the abundance of the prey. If that varies, then that's going to affect the growth. And then selective mortality. There's a couple different types. You have fishing mortality in that if we're catching the fastest growing fish in an age class, you will reduce the growth mean weight and length of fish within an age class. Studies have shown that. And of course, the good news is studies recently. Conover's he did the study where he showed that, you know, if you remove the fastest growing fish, you will reduce mean weight and length. But he continued to keep those fish in the lab, and what he's found is that once he released the pressure, then they've gone back to their original mean weight and length. So in this talk, I'm going to go over the length-weight relationship, trends in length-weight and abundance, and then the possible mechanisms for those trends. And I'm going to look at four stocks, Georges Bank, Haddock and Cod, and then the Gulf of Maine, Cod, and American Place. And when I go through the Haddock, I'm going to go through that in a bit more detail than the rest of the stocks. So for Haddock, we have our autumn research bottom trawl survey from 1963 to 2005. So since 1992, we've been able to weigh individual fish on our surveys. So if you look at this plot, on the x-axis is length, and on the y is the weight. And each blue dot is an individual fish. And you can see that there's a pretty tight relationship between length and weight. The larger you are in length, the heavier you are in weight. Well, for a fish anyway. And what we can do is fit a model to this data. And if you see this dark line through here, and the type of model we use, its weight is equal to A times length raised to the B, where we estimate the parameters A and B. So you can see that when we fit this model to this data, that it's a pretty good fit. If we look at Georges Bank Haddock from 1992 to 2006, we estimate this this length-weight relationship for every year. You see there's the line varies from year to year, and this is due to the environment and the available food. Whether or not there's a significant difference is something we have to test for, which I haven't done in this presentation. And we see that the greatest differences in weight are at length are in the larger sizes. So if we take these series of length-weight equations, and I color-coded them, the 90s are in red and the 2000s are in blue. It's not coming across too well here, but the red, there's more red lines on the top versus the blue or on the bottom. So what's that saying is during the 90s, fish at length were a little bit heavier than they are in the 2000s. We have that shift in the weight. Now, if we want to look, just key in on one age, say age 5, the mean length of age 5 fish varies from 47 to 68 centimeters. And what we want to do is look, we can calculate the mean length. We do that from our survey data. We have year here on the x-axis and length. So this is just the mean length over time for age 5 haddock. And we can see that the mean length has declined since the late 70s to currently. It's been variable, but overall it's been declining. What we're interested in is the mean weighted at length, and we can get to that by using the equation that I described before. If we plug in the mean length at age 5 into the equation for this year, we'll get the mean weight, and that's in the dotted line is the mean weight, and the solid line is the mean length. So we can do this for every age, and for haddock, we've done this for ages, 0 through 8. I present here 0 through 6. On this graph, we have year across the bottom and length on the y-axis. So the first line down here is these are age 0s, 1s, 2s, on up to age 6. Looking at a plot like this, you can see it's difficult to pick up whether or not there's trend in the data because of the scaling. So what I've done is I've collapsed the scaling and used what they call a z-score, which just is taking the observation minus the mean for that series, that age group, and dividing it by the standard deviation. So what you want to be look at here is, it looks like a lot of spaghetti, but is the overall trend. These are all the ages, ages 1 through 7. And there's a lot of variability, but you can see some pattern here that you couldn't see in the previous graph because of the scaling. So all we've done is remove the scale. And So if we look at this, it would appear that mean length of haddock has been declining overall since about 1980. It's, you know, obviously variable across ages. But if you pick out, like, ages 4, 5, and 6 of the yellow and the orange, you can see that there's variability, but it's been declining. And, of course, because of that tight relationship we had between length and weight, you'll see the same pattern in the mean weight at age. And within this pattern, we see that it was increasing between the 60s to the late 70s, and then this, you know, there's some a decline and then a slight increase, but then you have the overall trend. So there's a couple of different things going on here. Another way to look at this data is what we call the consumer's report approach. And we can look at the average weight length and the numbers caught in these graphs. And what we do is we bend the data into quintiles, into five groups based on percentiles. So we have 0 to 20, 20 to 40, 40 to 60, 60 to 80, 80 to 100 percentile. So there's five groups. So solid black represents the highest value of 80 to 100%, and then the solid red would be in the lowest percentile, 0 to 20. So once we set these graphs up, we can look for patterns across ages and years. So in this first plot graph, well, this is Georges Bank Haddock in the autumn. The columns here are years. So this is 1963 in the first column, and then 2005 in the very last column. And then the rows are ages, and they go from 0 to 14. And in the top panel is the length, and the lower panel is a number per toe. So what you really want to do here is look for I'm sorry it doesn't come out so well on that screen, but the black and the red, and you look for patterns here. So just to, if you look, this is a 1963 year class. It has, before I put the line in, because it was solid blacks all the way down, so it's, you can see the year class fairly well in here for Georges Bank. And then if we look at the year class, at the length for that year class, you can track that above. And then I think this is a 75 year class. It was all black line or black circles, and then up here is the mean length of that year class. One of the main thing from this, I think you can see, is that it would appear that there's some density dependence operating for haddock. If you look, this lower section here is all black circles. When the stock was, which means the stock was high. And then if you look up here, we have more red saying that mean length was low. And then in the middle years here, the stock was low in numbers, but there's a lot of black up here indicating mean high mean lengths. And then we see the opposite over here. There's red during the late 80s, and then there's a lot of black indicating a higher mean length. And then it's even more obvious here in the 2000s where the stock is much larger. We have a lot of black, and then up here at the mean length, there's a lot of red indicating lower mean length. So it would appear that there's some density dependence effect going on here. If we look at just 63 to 91, the reason I broke up the time series is prior to 1991, we weren't able to measure individual fish, so we only had one length weight equation. So it's not as representative as the 92 to 2000 time series, which is measured on an annual basis. So again, you can see some pattern here in the numbers. There's it's the same pattern I showed, but a little bit clearer here, I think. the black high abundance in the 60s and low mean lengths. And then during the late 80s, there's low abundance but higher mean lengths. Also, again, the pattern holds up here from 92 to 2000 in particular. You can see this one's a little easier to see since there's fewer years. This goes from 1992 to 2000, and we can see the high abundance in the recent years, but the low mean length and the low mean weight. So for haddock, the fish were slightly heavier during the 1990s and the 2000s. We see this declining trend in length and weight since the 90s, and actually since the mid-80s. And we see some evidence that length and weight are lower when abundance is higher and vice versa. So next we're going to look at Georges Bank cod from 63 to 2005. And here I'll jump right into the Z-scores after we've calculated the mean lengths and weighted age. Here we have from 1970 to 2005 for ages 0 to 8. Again, we're just interested in looking at the overall trend. And here we see mean length was and generally increasing between 70 and the 1970s to 1980. And then it's been generally declining, similar to haddock, since the mid-80s. And again, because of the tight relationship between length and weight, you'll see the same pattern in the weight. If you were to block off, say, from 1990 on, you could say, you know, there really wasn't much of a pattern in the beginning of the time series here, from the 70s to the 80s. But then there's this decline between 85 and 95, and then more so since 2000. Again, we can look at this same pattern using the consumer report approach. And in this case, you don't see the pattern that we saw in haddock. There's not that relationship between numbers and this thing's driving me nuts. I'm going to use this pointer. The numbers, we have high numbers of fish between 70 and 70 to 1980, but the mean length at age was also high during this time period. Whereas in the, if we go to the end of the time period, time series in the 1990s, you can see that mean number was low, but so wasn't the mean length. So this possible density dependence doesn't seem to be working in cod like it did in the haddock. Here is the time series from 1992 to 2005, when we have the individual mean weights, or we weigh the fish individually. So we have a length-weight equation for each year. And again, we don't see the pattern of, or in this case, since 92, there seems to be some suggestion that when mean weight and mean length are higher, we see more black dots between 92 and 99. But we see fewer fish were in the stock between 92 and 2000. So there's some slight indication maybe here of density dependence, but it's not as obvious as it was in the haddock. But these are the type of things that the committee's going to go back and do statistical analyses on and try to show if these relationships if it's actually significant, if it really means anything. Excuse me. So for Georges Bank cod, we do see a trend in mean length and weight since the mid-1980s. The mean length and weight was highest in the 80s and lowest in the 2000s. And since 1992, there is this weak relationship of length and weight to abundance. Now we'll look at the Gulf of Maine cod. That's from 63 to 2000. Again, looking at just at the mean length at age, for ages 0 to 7 using the Z-score. We see for cod in the Gulf of Maine, there is no particular pattern. There's no overall trend in the Gulf of Maine for mean length and mean weight. I think if we look closely, there may be some cyclical pattern here. We had an increase from 70 to 80, a decrease 80 to 90, then an increase 90 to 2000, and then a decrease 2000 to 2005. So it may be that this stock is influenced more by the environment or something else here, you know, whatever it's feeding on or temperature. It's something we have to go back and look for to see if we can find what would be correlated with this pattern. But looking overall, you know, for the whole time series, we wouldn't consider there to be any long-term trend here. And then, again, you'll see the same relationship for the weight, and that cyclical pattern is a little bit stronger here in the weight. So, you know, again, it may be associated with the food or the temperature. So now we can look at the consumer report for 1970 to 2005. And then again, in this case, we had higher numbers of fish from 1970 to about 1980. The mean length was a bit lower. But then, you know, when you look in the more recent time period, when there's relatively fewer fish, the mean length is a little bit higher, but again, it's not a real strong relationship. And based on the Z-scores, looking at the mean lengths annually, it looks like there's more of a pattern, as I said, a cyclical pattern. In this stock, we can track the year class here. The 71 year class shows up strongly. In this case, it's, as I said, it's possible there's some density dependence. The mean length was relatively lower when the stock was higher. And we see the same thing for the 87 year class, which was a strong year class. And if we look at the data from 1992 to 2005, the 98-year class was a strong year class, but in this case, the mean length wasn't relatively lower. It was actually, you know, higher. So, again, looking at looking at all these plots, it looks like cod overall doesn't have the strong pattern of density dependence, possible density dependence that Haddock did. So for Gulf of Maine cod, there's no overall long-term trend, a possible cyclical trend, which, it's not quite decadal, but this is something we'll have to go back and try to see, as I said, you know, if there's food or how the environment or food habits are or any oceanographic events that would cause this type of pattern. And the last one we'll look at is the Gulf of Maine American Plaice. This time series goes from 1980 to 2004. For plaice and flounders in general, the growth between males and females is different. The females generally grow faster than the males. And this plot is just one of the length-weight equations for the plaice in 1997. Of length on the x-axis and weight on the y, and pink is female, blue is male, and you can see at the larger larger sizes that the growth is different. Females are growing faster than males, and that may not look like very much on this plot due to the scaling. But if we look just at, let's say, age 5. Over the time series, the blue line again is female. The solid is length, and the dashed line is weight. And we can see, and the males are red, we can see this difference between mean length at age within a year. And in general, it's about 11% difference overall. So each year, the females are growing just a bit faster than the males. So we'll look at these scores of the length and weight by sex because of this difference. So the first set of slides, we have the males, length at age. And here, this time series is a bit shorter. It only goes from 92 to 2004. And you can see there's this declining overall trend, particularly ages 4 and 5, the green and blue, you can see declining over time. And you see that, again, because of the tight relationship between length and weight, you see that in the weighted age for the males. And we see the same pattern in the females. There's variability here, obviously. The age ones don't seem to have much of a pattern, but the larger age, the older ages, 4 and 5, we can see this declining trend over time. And again, you see the same kind of trend with the weight. The other thing that's, never mind, I'm not there yet. Now we'll look at the consumer report type graph here. This is for males from 92 to 2004. And here, in the flatfish, or in place here, when we have high numbers of fish, we also have high mean weight and mean length. And then when there's fewer fish, mean length and mean weight are lower. So we don't see any in these graphs, and for males anyway, I don't see this density-dependent type of relationship. But what's interesting is when you go to look at the females seem to have a bit of that density dependence. There's lower, we had lower numbers of fish in the early 90s, but the mean weight and mean length was higher. You can see with the black circles. And then mean length and mean weight are low in the 2000s, and mean numbers are higher. A little bit. It's a little shaky. Again, we're going to have to go back and analyze this. But, you know, I just to emphasize, this is very much a qualitative presentation. You know, it's just looking at the data without having done any analyses on it. The interesting thing about this stock, we found this in Fluke, and as if you look at the sex ratio between males and females, here it's just the percent males. It's the percent males of American Place for ages 1 through 8 from the 1992 to 2004 survey. So in this first upper left-hand corner in this plot is age 1. The red line is 50%. And so you can see that generally, there is more than 50% males. They're about 60% or so at age 1 and age 2 and age 3. But then age 4, they drop below 50%. And by age 5, they're only like 30% of the fish are males. Part of this is the females Well, females grow faster, but, I mean, that shouldn't affect the sex ratio. But if the females are growing faster, they may be, you know, and they're getting larger more quickly than the males, then they're more susceptible to fishing at a larger size. So that would might explain the ratio from age 5 on. But prior to that, for some reason, as juveniles, the females have higher mortality, and I don't know what would be causing that. So it's an interesting problem that we need to look at. But the difference in growth for flounders and between the sexes, it's a common. We see it in fluke and a little bit in yellowtail. And interesting, I looked at which flounder, and it didn't really seem to show it. So it's not in every flatfish, but in most of them. So when this is the combined sexes for American plaice from 92 to 2004, but having just shown you the previous graph, you have to be careful in interpreting this because there's more males at the younger ages. The mean lengths for ages 1 through 4 are going to be biased towards the mean size of males, whereas the mean size from ages, 6 through 10 are they're predominantly females. So in this graph, we can see, again, some suggestion perhaps of density dependence. We have high mean length and mean weight early in the time series with not as many fish caught. But then later in the time series, we have larger numbers of fish. Mean length and weight are lower. Again, this is, Okay, so that was 92. This is the overall time series. Just to get a sense of since 1980, to try to get a sense of what the stock was doing. And it looks like mean lengths were higher during the 80s and 90s than they are during the more current last decade. Again, you have to be careful in interpreting this because of the bias of males and females here. So in summary, for American plaice, there's an overall declining trend in both sexes, possible density dependence more in the females than the males. And the younger ages are dominated by males, and the older ages are almost completely female in the oldest age groups. In the mid groups, it's primarily females. So just as an overall, preliminary summary of this visual analysis, if we go back to those potential mechanisms, I think they all have some influence on growth. It would be difficult for us to measure the maternal and paternal effects. But though the other four here, they are it's confounded. Density dependence and environment are acting together along with food habits and then the mortality. But just from what we looked at today, there's a suggestion that haddock and plaice have some density dependent growth, and that there's an environmental effect is influencing the cod, particularly the Gulf of Maine cod, and possibly the haddock. And then with the plaice, it looks like there's some selective mortality or some type of mortality to make the sex ratio so skewed between the juveniles and the adults. The juveniles or the younger fish are mostly males and the older ones are mostly females. So there is some differential mortality occurring there. So the effect on yield, when we look at this, for the slower growth, the total amount of M, the natural mortality, because the fish are growing slower, the total M will be greater prior to the fish coming into the fishery or spawning. If they're delayed, say, a year coming into the fishery, then they're going to be exposed to more natural mortality than if they had, recruited into the fishery and had started to spawn. And with the slower growth, we have lower productivity. And then with the, if maturity is delayed, we'll have lower spawning stock biomass. And of course, this delayed maturity into the spawning stock is causing a delayed yield. And to the fishery, and the yield is actually reduced because of the extra natural mortality of having been, not recruiting to the fishery when we might have expected it. So future work, we need to go back and evaluate these alternative hypotheses using statistical analyses. We're going to consider oceanographic and biological effects, looking at temperature, salinity, depth, distribution, habitat and food habits, and then the predator prey. And all those are related. And if the temperature is changing, the prey is probably not as available, which then affects the food habits. And then we want to go back and look at the broad-scale patterns, looking at, if we can see anything that's going on in the Gulf of Maine versus Georgia's or within each area, if there's any particular pattern. So far, I've looked at about 10 stocks, and there doesn't seem to be any spatial. Some stocks are increasing, others are decreasing within an area, so there doesn't seem to be a pattern there. But we're going to look at that more intensely and then look at the flatfish versus the round fish and then compare the ground fish and the pelagics to see if we can see some pattern. I think what we're going to find is that there's no one mechanism that is influencing these changes. But we'll have to see and stay tuned, in another year or so we may have some additional answers. So that's it.
Thanks, Loretta. Certainly these issues have been the source of a lot of formal conversation and hallway conversation for a couple of years. So really appreciate you coming up here and giving us the presentation. And glad to hear you're going to continue to look into these issues. Any questions from the council? Rip.
Thank you. This is maybe a little bit off the subject, but a number of years ago, I listened to the Conover presentation when the entire study wasn't complete. He, at that point, was several generations into going back to the norm, and indications were that at that point in time that it was going to take a lot longer, a greater number of generations to get back to the norm than it did to get to the out of the norm. I never did see the end results. Did it in fact take longer, or do you remember?
When he published that paper, he only published the part where if you have the intense selection, the mean length and weight declines. Mike Fogarty told me, he talked with Dave Conover the other day, and he said, after the paper was published, he continued to grow out they kept the fish that they had used in the experiment, and they quit, selectively removing fish and just let them grow. And I don't know how many generations, but he said they came back to the same mean length as in the beginning of the experiment. But I think it makes sense that, you can quickly make something, make the mean length, mean weight go down. It probably would take a little bit longer for it to come back, but I think the good news is that it did, come back to the original, he hasn't published that work, so it's just what he had said to Mike.
Anything else? David?
I've recaptured a number of yellowtail recently, and I'm looking at the information as I get it back. And I had one fish that had been out there almost 3 years, it hadn't grown at all. And I've had a number of fish that have either not grown at all or actually have shrunk. Now, part of that could be measuring error, but is it possible for fish to actually shrink over time? Or do they have to at least stay the same length?
Well, I'm not a physiologist, but I would I would think they don't shrink. I would think that it's, my first guess is, as you said, it's probably measurement error. But
Okay, I was just curious because I'm very careful how I measure them, and I know the people who tagged them were very careful in how they measured them. And granted, we're using different scales, inches and centimeters and whatnot. But what I'm seeing is that if there is growth, there isn't very much growth, and I'm a little bit concerned with that.
How large were these yellowtail?
They range from 13 inches to 15 and a half.
No,
I
don't know.
They're all adult fish.
Yeah, I mean, if they're really large, older fish, you know, once they get to a large, or once they get to 7 or 8, I'm not sure. I'm not that familiar with the yellowtail growth, but they asymptote. They'll get older, but they will hardly increase in length. So it may be that you're looking at if it's a 6 or 7, 8 year old fish, it may not grow very much year to year. And if there's erosion, you know, on the fin, and they're measuring, that may, you know, the little bit that it did grow, it would not register. I mean, you know, you wouldn't pick it up.
Okay, that makes sense. The erosion of the fin, I didn't really think about that. I didn't examine the fins that carefully, and they were parts of, you know, large bags of dogs and skates and things that might tend to make the fins look kind of, you know.
I mean, that's a possibility, but also if it's at an age where it's not growing very much anyway, any type of measurement error will make it look like it's shrunk, which I doubt it did.
Okay. So the reason I asked is because, I mean, the cod we've recovered have all shown pretty consistent growth, actually pretty rapid growth, but these flounders appear to grow much more slowly than I would have anticipated.
They definitely do grow slower. Those length-weight equations I showed, I don't have one here, but when I did it one time compare, if you compare haddock, cod and yellowtail, they asymptote much more quickly to a maximum length compared to cod and haddock. So there's definitely a difference in the rate of growth between those species.
Thanks. Whereas David said it could be the dogfish. Jim?
Yeah, it's several questions. One I found interesting is that you mentioned the size of the fish have better eggs, and so bigger eggs meaning bigger larvae, and they would have a more tendency to survive. And this is just my personal view, is that I think we're doing things a little wrong in the fisheries. We're targeting all the old fish with our mesh, and therefore we're catching the bigger fish that would have a tendency to have bigger eggs. That I think we're losing yield by doing that. That's just my view, and I heard you mention that. And then I had another question. Does the size, I don't think it does, but does the size of the fish have anything to do with the sexual maturity, or is it the age that causes them to be mature? In other words, is a 3-year-old fish, depending on its size, still sexually mature?
Well, there's the idea there's length-dependent maturity and age-dependent maturity, but it's a combination. I mean, just because you're at age 3 doesn't necessarily mean you're mature. You know, depending on the stock, it would be, it's probably a combination of length, weight, you know. It's more, I think, a function of length for the gadids. You know, when they reach a certain length, they'll mature.
Okay. So then by having the size grow slower means they reach sexual maturity later?
Right. In theory, that's what we've seen in some stocks, right.
And then did you look at, I noticed that on George's Bank, the cod size was going down, and it was hard for me to just quickly look at it, but even though it wasn't dependent on the density of cod, could you layer over the density of haddock to that to see if high densities of haddock are causing slow growth in cod? Because I think if I looked real quick at it, it did. You had high density times of haddock that actually had slow growth in cod.
I'm not sure if I followed your question exactly. You're thinking that the haddock are competing with the cod and causing the decline in the cod? Is that?
Yeah. Causing the slow growth in the cod. If you take high density periods of haddock, does that correlate with your slower growth periods? High density periods in haddock, was that causing slower growth periods in cod?
Yeah, I didn't look at that. I mean, that's something we would look at to see, you know, if there is competition. But what I put these two plots together here, it's the weight of cod and haddock. And, you know, they look like they're actually pretty similar, like this decline in the 80s to the 90s. You see it in both stocks, so at first glance, I don't think that the cod would be the haddock would be affecting the cod. And you see this decline in both of them in the more recent years, and it's kind of sharp decline, which I think suggests more environment. There has been a study, it's just an abstract I saw, someone looking at the food habits of cod on Georges and in the Gulf of Maine. And what they showed was that the caloric value, there's plenty of food on Georges for the cod, but the caloric value wasn't as high as it used to be. So there seems to be something environmentally going on that's affecting the growth.
But if you look at that, the drop in the haddock catch at age, that correlates to the density of haddock. So then if you look up, density of haddock seems to be occurring at the same time you've had lower growth in cod. And it may not be competition for food. It may be spatial. We've got a huge year class of cod that there's no room for anything else.
Right.
Just something we've noticed out there. And then I heard you mention something about every year that you delay, that these fish don't recruit into the fisheries is a year that you have a lot of lost yield. In other words, you could have taken some of that natural mortality and commercial yield. Is that accurate description of, I'm just trying to understand it.
No, yeah, all I was saying was, if a fish normally recruits at age 6 to the fishery, or let's say age 4 to the fishery, and this is hypothetical, and for whatever reason doesn't recruit till age 6, then right, it'll be exposed to more, two more years of natural mortality. So when it finally does come into the fishery, it would not be as much. Well, it's a trade-off. You know, they're larger size, so you might have maybe the same amount of yield at the larger size 2 years later. You know, it would compensate. You know, there's more numbers at age 4, but they weigh less. By the time they get to age 6, there's fewer of them because of the natural mortality, but they weigh more. So it may, end up to be, you'd have to look at that, to figure out, I don't have an absolute answer off the top of my head. But the point is they obviously are exposed to 2 more years of mortality than they would have been.
Okay, it's 12 o'clock now. We have a tight schedule packed for the afternoon. So are you going to be available for a couple of minutes after we break for people that have questions?